soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:1. Hi, I'm Rob West. That verse reminds us to keep a cool head when we experience conflict or crisis in a relationship, and maybe all the more when that crisis involves the marriage relationship. Howard Dayton joins us today to talk about surviving a marriage crisis, and it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our friend Howard Dayton is the founder of Compass Financial Ministry and the former host of this program, so it's always great to have him back with us. Howard, welcome back.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Howard, let's start with the warning signs of a marital crisis. In your experience, what are they?
Well, it typically occurs when there's a lot of stress or unresolved conflict that become too intense for a couple to manage.
Yeah.
A crisis brought on by finances usually involves more than dollars and cents.
Yeah.
Anger, resentment, frustration often control the relationship, Rob, and their communication becomes increasingly strained, or the two emotionally withdraw from each other.
Yes.
A crisis can even be more challenging when the husband and wife contributed to it, especially when trust has been broken.
No doubt about that. And what in your experience is the typical response that you see to this type of crisis?
Yeah, Rob, people react differently to a crisis. Some people react quickly and emotionally. Others are more introspective. And it's really essential for spouses to give each other the freedom to deal with the crisis and to support each other in every way possible. And times like this can be huge in a relationship, either for bringing couples closer together or pushing them further apart. Now, this may surprise some, but one of the biggest potential benefits is that when people experience a high level of pain, they'll often change.
Yeah.
Impulse spenders can become careful spenders. Credit cards are paid off. Couples begin to communicate at a different level. And some even become serious about their relationship with Christ.
And that's certainly the outcome we're looking for. All right, let's get real practical here. I know you have some steps to help couples deal with a marital crisis. What are they?
Well, first, pray together for God's wisdom and direction in your situation. Then agree together on the ground rules of how to deal with a crisis. Include an opportunity for either spouse at any time to call time out, to pray together and to cool off if the meeting becomes too intense. And this is really huge, Rob. Agree to use kind words to communicate. Unkind words can really damage their relationship. I've found it's also helpful to write a letter to each other expressing your feelings and identifying the issues, then meet to pray together and discuss the letters. And don't forget to identify and repent from any sin. For example, if somebody is addicted to gambling, repentance would mean getting help to break that addiction.
Yes.
Then look for the real source of the hurt between you and your spouse. You may not know exactly where to look for it, but God does, so ask Him to reveal it. And finally, work to rebuild the marriage. Each spouse should find someone to hold them accountable to make really good choices.
Wow, that's really helpful, Howard. And if a couple does all of those things, but the crisis still remains, what then?
Well, couples experiencing acute meltdown in their marriage need intervention because they may be unable to work out the problems without the assistance of a professional. So find the right person or organization that can help best. And I would encourage you to select a mature Christian who's really a trained counselor. Now, I realize that there are some circumstances where divorce may occur because of abuse, adultery, or addictions, but most problems can be solved if both partners are committed to resolving them.
Oh, I love it. Howard, I know that you have taught for so long that oneness is the goal in the marriage relationship, and that includes this area of finance. In just our few seconds remaining, give us a quick vision of what that could look like.
Well, it means that you don't make independent financial decisions without really communicating and listening to your spouse, that you view the resources that you have as both of yours, not just one of yours.
I love it. Howard, my friend, always great insights and wisdom. Thanks for stopping by.
I loved it, Rob. Thank you.
Howard Dayton's been our guest today. You can read much more about this important topic in his book, Money and Marriage, God's Way. Your calls are next. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you live near farmland, you might have the fun opportunity this fall to walk through a corn maze. But honestly, the line between fun and stressful is thin. Corn is tall, and it can take a long time to find your way out. If the sun starts to set and you're still inside, a feeling of panic can set in. If only you had a guide. Well, thankfully, in life, a Christian has something better. The Good Shepherd. Psalm 23 says, "This shepherd refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." So if you're unsure where you're going in life, call upon the Good Shepherd. He'll lead you in the right path. You'll see more of Jesus through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is Franklin Graham, and I've got an idea for Christmas, and that is to fill a shoebox for a child somewhere in the third world. These children live in poverty, and what I'm asking you to do is just take a shoebox and fill it with items for a child. Put toys, school supplies, and then we give these boxes out, and we do this in Jesus' name. And put your picture in there. Put your address in there. Maybe the kids can write you back, but we need you to be a part of it. God bless you. Thank you so very much.
Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to get involved.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Great to have Howard Dayton here today. Howard has been a mentor to me personally. He's the former host of this program and the founder of Compass Finances God's Way. Before that, Crown Financial Ministries. Howard and the late Larry Burkett were really pioneers of this movement around a modern approach to biblical stewardship. Starting in the late 70s and 80s with some foundational books, Howard's book, Your Money Counts, his Crown Small Group Bible Study that was so instrumental in churches across this country, Larry Burkett, of course, with Your Finances in Changing Times and the Master Your Money radio program, Money Matters was the radio program. And, you know, I continue an incredible legacy in part for these two men with this program here each walk in some enormous shoes, and just so thankful for the pioneering work they did to help God's people understand God's heart as it relates to money management and stewardship. And we build on that legacy today. And our hope and prayer on this program each day is that we can equip you to be that wise steward, to manage God's money faithfully. And we would love to help you do that in very practical areas of your financial life. So whatever you're wrestling with today, be sure to give us a call. We've got lines open, and we'll be here for you today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Also, coming up in our final segment today, Jerry Boyer will stop by. Jerry is our resident economist. We'll get an update from Jerry just on the market. Even as the market has been cooling off this week from its post-election rally, still a lot of strength, still sitting near all-time highs, and we're just getting started in terms of the effects on our economy of what will be a Republican-controlled Congress and a president presidency that is includes Donald J. Trump for the next 4 years starting in January, and some pretty significant implications to all that they have planned. And we're going to see that play out. We'll get Jerry's take on it. Also joining Jerry today in that segment will be Walker Wildman from American Family Association with an update on some of AFA's recent work in corporate engagement. So we'll look forward to our conversation with those two gentlemen a little later. We will be taking your questions here in just a moment. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. In the news today, Congress has taken a major step toward eliminating what's called the windfall elimination provision and also the government pension offset rule. On Thursday, the House easily passed a bipartisan bill that would wipe out both of those regulations. Now, this is a big deal for so many of you that are affected by either the WEP or the GPO, either of those rules. For nearly 40 years, they've reduced Social Security benefits by up to $550 a month for workers who receive other government pensions, usually at the state or local level. Now, those workers qualified for higher benefits under normal Social Security rules, but their monthly checks were reduced simply because they received other benefits unrelated to the Social Security system. Critics of the measure say there are other, much bigger problems with the Social Security system that need to be fixed first, notably funding. We've talked about before that the Social Security Trust Fund is expected to run dry in 2034 or 2035, and critics are saying that we need to address that before increases are made to benefits. Nevertheless, if you're someone who's affected by the windfall elimination or the government offset rule, you certainly are interested in taking note of what's being discussed here. The bill must still be passed in the Senate and, of course, signed by the president. But an interesting development related to pensions that would affect a lot of folks that fall in this category. We'll certainly keep you updated on that, as I know a lot of people will be very interested in it. All right, we're ready to dive into your phone calls today. I know the lines are the calls are coming in, but we do have some lines open. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in Wisconsin. Bonnie, thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thanks for your program. Hi. My question is almost more of just if you could further explain what a fiduciary interest is for your listeners, because when you ask if they have a financial planner, a lot of them say yes. But if that is an insurance salesman, you know they're pushing their own products. And how can you be a true fiduciary with the best interest if you're making money off of what you sell and you only have a limited number of products you're going to tell them about?
Yeah, it's a great point. And so this is a term, it's gotten more awareness as of late because there's been more talk about it, but it is an important distinction when you're choosing a financial advisor. So the word fiduciary, or the term in the context of financial advice, is simply someone who is legally and ethically obligated to act in the best interests of the client. So essentially, this standard requires that the advisor prioritize the needs of the client above their own, which ensures that all recommendations and actions are made with the client's financial well-being as the primary concern. Now, you might say, well, why wouldn't every advisor do that? And it's simply to your point, if you're selling a product and perhaps you have a limited number of products, excuse me, it's not that you're trying to in any way recommend something that would be unsuitable for the client, but just by virtue of the fact that you are limited in your menu of choices, the product you're suggesting or recommending may or may not be the very best product for that client, both in terms of what it will provide in the way of return, the fee structure, the total fees and commissions paid. And so by working with a fiduciary, you are ensuring that anybody that you're working with who's making recommendations for you or acting on your behalf in a financial capacity is unencumbered by just a limited menu of alternatives and can recommend what is truly in your or the client's best interest with their ultimate financial well-being as the primary concern. So I think asking somebody, asking an advisor as a part of the interview process, whether they are a fiduciary would be a good thing. Because, you know, you're going to make sure that you get transparency and accountability about the fees and commissions and other charges. You're going to get a full disclosure of conflicts of interest. They have a duty of care, which is to provide sound financial advice based on a deep understanding of your needs, goals, and objectives. And then, again, they're going to, by law, have to act in your best interest. And what I would also say, Bonnie, is that I think the concept of fiduciary and the responsibility that goes with it really closely aligns with biblical principles of honesty and integrity and service. You know, Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, which I think reflects the heart of a fiduciary ethics, which is making decisions that honor the trust placed in the advisor. And so as you seek out perhaps a certified Kingdom advisor, which is the designation we recommend, when you go to faithfi.com and click find a professional, you could include asking that question, are you a fiduciary, as a part of that process. You will find that the vast majority will answer in the affirmative. Bonnie, is that helpful?
Yes, I was aware of that. I just wanted your listeners to be more aware, and that was an excellent explanation. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for your call today. Lord bless you, Bonnie. Back with your questions, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Send joy to a child in need with Operation Christmas Child. Simply pack a shoebox with fun toys, school supplies, and hygiene items. Then bring it to a drop-off location during National Collection Week, November 18th through the 25th. You can also build a shoebox online. And the best part is the good news of Jesus Christ is shared alongside your gift. And each child is given the opportunity to participate in a life-changing discipleship program. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. So if you have a question today in your financial life, give us a call. Living, giving, owing, or growing God's money, they're all in play today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before we head to Texas and talk to Michelle, let me just remind you, Activate Summit 2025 is coming up June 12th to the 14th. That's next summer. The theme is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. Why are you telling us about this now, you ask? Well, it's an important time because if you register for Activate Summit 2025 before January the 1st with the code EARLYBIRD20, you'll get 20% off your registration. Again, register before January the 1st with the code EARLYBIRD20, and you'll get 20% off your registration. The event will take place at the Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, again, June 12th to the 14th. That's going to be another incredible Activate Summit. You won't want to miss it. Go ahead and make plans now for a trip next summer to Tupelo to be a part of it. And to register, go to activate.afa.net/summit. That's activate.afa.net/summit. All right, let's head to the phones. To Texas we go. Hi, Michelle. How can I help?
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I sure can. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm out in the country.
Great.
Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Sure.
I am a newlywed at 50, but this isn't my first marriage. And so I'm new to Christ. I listen to you guys faithfully.
That's awesome.
And my question is, how do I approach my husband, he's a believer as well, on how to reconcile our finances together?
Yeah.
I don't know how to approach that with him without sounding like I'm trying to take over something, or because we both come from, hard paths, so there's some trust issues, especially with finances and things like that. And
yes.
I just want to do it in a way that would honor God and honor our marriage and so on and so forth.
Yes. I love the way you're thinking there, Michelle. First of all, let me just celebrate with you that you've surrendered your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's incredible. And congratulations on your marriage. That's phenomenal as well. Michelle, I have some thoughts on this, and I love that you're thinking this way because clearly God's heart for marriage is oneness. And I think bringing our finances into that oneness is one of the key ways we can drive toward God's heart as a married couple, as one flesh. And so I'd love to talk about some ways to do that. But do you have a sense that he would be hesitant to go in this direction? Have you all talked about it previously? Or are you just, trying to get ahead of it, not sure totally where he'll land on this?
We have talked about it. And there was some hesitancy on his part. He feels like he wants to keep his account and I keep mine, and maybe later we can consider an account together. So I could feel some pushback a bit that he's not quite open.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, just because I couldn't quite get the right words in such a way to make you feel comfortable, I guess.
Yes.
And so you kind of clamp down a bit, so I kind of left it alone.
I totally understand. Well, listen, I think the first step is always to pray on your own and then together for wisdom and unity, inviting God into that discussion. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask and God will grant it generously. And so I think we need to invite God into that. You know, the two big ideas here that I think drive this is one, you all don't own anything, and I don't either. God is the owner of everything, the cattle on a thousand hills. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and the fullness thereof is what we read in Psalm 24:1. And so God owns everything, which means you and I and your husband are stewards of whatever he has entrusted to us, which means we don't have ownership rights. We have stewardship responsibilities, and our goal is faithfulness. And so when you join in marriage, you're now one flesh before the Lord. And so you're now stewards together as one flesh of what God has entrusted to you. So it's no longer a mine and yours. It's his. And now how do we steward what God has entrusted to us? And ultimately driving toward through our marriage and our shared values for where God is leading us, a money management plan that reflects that. Now, you may have one person that's the bookkeeper, but again, there's shared goals, and I think mechanically there should be shared accounts as well. Now, I think as a part of that, you know, you need to acknowledge there are differences in your financial histories. You have different financial stories. Money's been handled differently in the past. Your experience with saving and debt and giving and spending, and I think talking through that and understanding kind of where you all have been and now where you are going forward, and then having a conversation not only about God's design for unity and oneness, including finances and the fact that God owns everything and therefore you all are as stewards as one flesh. The next step is, what are your shared goals and values? What do you want to accomplish together? What about, you know, the next season in retirement? What might that look like, and how you do giving and supporting family and traveling and leaving a legacy, starting with a spiritual legacy and then a financial one? And as you begin to uncover those shared goals and values, then I think you need to move toward a practical plan that merges the finances, which would begin with fully combining the finances into joint accounts, having a unified budget, and then moving forward by making financial decisions together and focusing on trust and transparency. But I think the key is to make sure he understands this is not a matter of controlling anything. This is not you just kind of imposing your will on the situation. This is starting with a recognition that God's design is oneness. He owns everything. We're now stewards together of what God has entrusted to us. And so let's do that in every area of our lives, including our finances. But I've thrown a lot at you there. I want to give your thoughts on that, Michelle. So if you don't mind, stay on the line. After the break, we'll finish this up. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Coming up in our next segment, Jerry Boyer and Walker Wildman stop by with a market update. We'll hear what the latest on the economy here in the United States. Also an update on AFA's really important work in corporate engagement with the biggest companies in the world on behalf of biblical values. But first, before the break, we were talking to Michelle in Texas. She's newly married. This is a second marriage. She and her husband are in their late 50s. He's in his late 50s. She's in early 50s. And they're wondering about combining their finances. He's expressed a desire, at least for now, to keep things somewhat separate. She'd like to talk about really merging those finances together. And I was sharing before the break just this idea that God's design is unity and oneness, that we're stewards, God owns it all, and that really needs to be the basis for the conversation. Then you explored shared values, and then ultimately the day-to-day money management, regardless of who does it and pays the bills and so forth, is a reflection of that those kind of joint shared values that you've uncovered. Now, Michelle, I think to the extent there are very specific concerns he has about this, you want to get those on the table so that you can work through them. So for instance, one of the typical concerns is if there's kids from a prior marriage, you may decide, I think this is the one scenario where you decide, okay, we're going to carve out a portion of the assets we brought into the marriage specifically for the benefit of those kids. That were from a previous marriage. It could be that, you know, there's been mistrust in the past. And so you've got to work through that over time and perhaps even involving a third party and kind of, talking through that. If it's that, he wants to have, there's certain things that are important to him and he feels like that's going to get lost if now all of a sudden everything is shared. Well, you know, there can be a portion of the budget and the spending plan and the future savings that reflects him in the same way it reflects you and kind of who you are uniquely. So, I think the extent to which there are some very specific things that concern him, we need to get those on the table and work through them as a part of this bigger conversation. But give me your thoughts on all that.
You hit the nail right on the head. I agree 100%. Between the two of us, there's 8 kids. So I think that's a big part of some of his hesitation. It's his children, and there's a strained past in that. And there's a lot of things he still needs to reconcile on that side, as for me. So I agree with you 100%.
Well, what it could be, Michelle, is that you all say, listen, we're going to get to that down the road, and I just want you to know on the front end, I'm completely fine with you taking a portion of what, wealth you've accumulated prior to marriage and earmarking it for the kids, and, I'm not trying to tell you what to do with that. But perhaps a starting point would be to say, from this point forward, from our marriage forward, anything that comes into the marriage relationship, we're going to consider, us together as stewards rather than separate, and create a go forward plan, that is based on shared values and goals and combined finances, even if we were to carve out anything that, had been accumulated prior to marriage separately. I mean, that may be a step one.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's sound advice. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's do this. I'm going to send you a book called Money and Marriage God's Way from Howard Dayton, who was on the program to open the broadcast today. And perhaps, look through it, and maybe something that maybe you guys go through together, a week at a time, a chapter at a time, and just explore God's heart as it relates to how money comes into the marriage relationship. So stay on the line, Michelle. We'll get that book out to you as our gift to you. Thanks for your call today. To Ohio. Hi, John. How can I help?
Yeah, hi. I was asking a question about my thrift savings plan and rolling it over to IRA.
Okay. What is the question specifically?
Would it benefit me to do that now? I'm getting ready to retire within the next 5 years. I'm eligible now, but,
yes.
Life, no retiring right now. But so I was told that I could roll it over. It would stay fixed at that amount and could only go up, and that I could still keep my thrift savings open and still contribute to that. Would that be a wise move?
I like the idea of rolling the TSP out to an IRA, but I'd love to know more about it can only go up. What are you rolling it into? Like an insurance product?
That I'm not sure. I just was speaking with a guy last night, and he was talking to me about it.
Okay.
I'm not sure. That's why I was curious, why I was calling you, because I'm not quite fully understanding what he's talking about to how'd that be guaranteed that it wouldn't go down.
Yeah, it's probably an IRA annuity, which is a tax-deferred annuity, which would not be my first choice. How much have you accumulated in that TSP, John?
It's close to 300, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. And how far off is retirement? I realize you said you're eligible to retire, but you need to continue, to work for a season. How far off do you anticipate retiring, at least at this point?
No more than 5 years.
Okay. Got it. And what will you have in addition to this $300,000 and what it grows to over the next 5 years for retirement? Will you be eligible for Social Security?
Yes. I'm 60 right now.
Okay. And so do you have a sense of what that will be just based on your benefit statement?
My Social Security?
Yes, sir.
I think it's around $1,100 or $1,400 a month, something like that.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so I mean, let's say this grows to $350,000, I'd be comfortable with you pulling 4% a year just as a starting point. So that'd be a little more than $1,000 a month. So let's call it $1,100 a month. If you add that to $1,400 a month, we're talking about $2,500 a month. I think the question would be, is that enough? Do you have any other income sources in retirement, or would you be trying to make it just on Social Security plus your TSP?
From the Postal Service.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I'll have my retirement from the Postal Service also.
Okay, great. Yeah. So could it be that between the Postal Service retirement and Social Security, the goal might be that you don't even touch the $350,000 if that's what it grows to?
That's my hopes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, I think that puts you in a great position, because if you can limit your lifestyle, live on your postal retirement plus Social Security, that would be ideal. And then I'd be looking to roll that TSP over to an IRA and have an advisor manage it for you rather than putting it in an insurance company. There is something nice by transferring the risk away from the markets to an insurance company in the form of an annuity type product, because there's a floor on it. To your point earlier, you can't lose money. The downside is, in exchange for that floor, there's always a cost for it. And the cost is you're not going to get the full upside. And so, you know, the way we get the better, you know, annual returns is we take the up with the down and we manage that risk through diversification and asset allocation. So, you know, if you're retiring at 65, let's say, you know, we might put 40 to 45% in stocks, 55 to 60% in bonds, maybe a small portion of precious metals. We try to smooth it out, get a nice yield coming in. But the real benefit is, even though you're taking on some risk, you are getting 100% of the upside, and you have access to the money if you needed it for long-term care or some other event. So I like rolling it to an IRA and finding a certified Kingdom advisor to manage it. Let's finish up off the air. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Edward Graham, and I've got a great idea for you this Christmas. Through Operation Christmas Child, you can share hope with a child in need. Fill a shoebox with toys, school supplies, and hygiene items. Add your picture and an encouraging note. We'll deliver your shoebox gift to a child alongside the greatest gift of all, the good news of Jesus Christ.
Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to get involved. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
Are you overwhelmed by financial fear and anxiety? You're not alone. At FaithFi, we hear it every day. People weighed down by worries related to wealth and money. But financial anxiety isn't about the size of your bank account. It's about the condition of your heart. That's why we've created Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional that'll help you find peace through Jesus' teachings. Replace your financial anxiety with peace today. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and start your journey today.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in this final segment today on a Friday, we always look forward to Jerry Boyer stopping by. Jerry's our resident economist. He joins us each Friday with his updates on corporate engagement as well as the economy. Walker Wildman will be joining us in a moment as well to update us on some of the more recent work on the part of the American Family Association and corporate engagement. But first, Jerry, good to have you here, sir. Good afternoon. Well, I guess it's morning, isn't it? What? I'm getting ahead of myself.
It'll be afternoon soon, so that
will
be correct soon.
Yes, yeah. It will. It will.
good morning to you. It's somewhere, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. All right, yeah. Jerry, what's going on? I mean, we had incredible strength on the heels of that red wave that we saw.
Hello?
Uh-oh, did we lose you? All right, are you there?
Hello?
All right, let's do this. We're going to hang on to Jerry, and we will come back to him. I know Walker Wildman's here. Walker, hey, I know a lot is always going on at AFA on so many domains. I imagine that has reached a crescendo in light of last week. But give us an update on specifically the work that AFA is doing as of late in corporate engagement.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for having me on. And the latest thing that we're working on is we just signed on to a letter with multiple other groups and organizations that hold actually several $1 billion in assets. We wrote a letter to major Fortune 500 corporations urging them to completely ditch and abolish all diversity, equity, and inclusion programs within these corporations. We see a lot of momentum with this President Trump victory where corporations are realizing that DEI is a bad idea and it's actually discriminatory. So that's our latest effort, is working on abolishing DEI standards within corporate America.
You know, it's one thing, Walker, for AFA to be out there leading, and I know you all are engaging many of these companies like Apple and Tractor Supply and Home Depot and others on your own, but it's another thing to partner with others, because when you go in representing, you know, billions and billions of dollars, it just brings more authority and leadership to the conversation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And Rob, this is a generational opportunity to really do a reset in many areas of the culture that we've historically not been performing well in. I'm talking about conservatives and evangelical Christians. I just saw a report yesterday where the Los Angeles Times is terminating. The Los Angeles Times owner is terminating the entire editorial board that is all liberals and replacing them with conservatives. I saw another report from NBC. They're looking to add conservative voices to The View, actual conservative voices to The View.
I saw
that. We're seeing a momentum shift in the economy and in the public and private sector, where conservatism and godly values are beginning to be welcomed again.
Yeah, and Jerry, I know we have you back with us. To that point, I mean, an incredible opportunity for conservatives, for biblical values in the halls of government, but coming at it from the corporate side as well is going to be a key piece of this, isn't it?
Yeah, the political shift is going to cause a culture shift in corporations. It already is. It's amazing the way I'm hearing back. I mean, we reached out to a giant multinational company, Unilever, that had a unit, Ben and Jerry's, that was boycotting Israel. And, you know, I just sent an email. That's it. Just an email. I didn't even tell them how many shares everybody owns. And I heard back from the general counsel of the corporation, secretary of the board, and two officials from investor relations. So there's a real sea change going on here, where the efforts that AFA is doing, I mean, Walker can attest. I mean, he meets with, say, an Apple or whatever, and they kind of stonewall, and they try to get you to just drop it, and they give you kind of spoon-fed answers and pat you on the head frequently and say, just go away. It's all right. You don't belong here. And that attitude is changing quickly.
Yeah. Well, and Walker mentioned how AFA is working alongside others representing just massive investable assets. And Jerry, when there's coordination, and I know you and the team at Boyer Research have been instrumental in this, when there's coordination among organizations with shared biblical values to come at this together, it just levels up the opportunity, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. So there's an inside game and an outside game, right? So, you know, talking to investor relations is great, and AFA owns shares, so they can put proposals forward and they get the meeting. But AFA is also, you know, there's a radio network, you know, that kind of helps too. So Apple kind of gets a sense of, if they don't give straight answers, that we're going to talk about them on Fridays. And then you got a guy named Robbie Starbuck on Twitter, who's out there, who's brand new to this space, and he's got hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers, maybe millions. And so Twitter trends. So now that you got all that stuff going on at the same time, there's this real cultural and I'd say even spiritual convergence going on in the nation right now. And that is
Walker. Really, I can't help but just imagine that you and the team at AFA and Activate just have a real sense of optimism. You called it a once-in-a-generation opportunity. You know, as you all are thinking and praying through what's before us, tell us what the team is really thinking and talking about in terms of where we go from here.
Yeah, well, what I want to encourage ourselves and our audience to do is to not waste this opportunity. I describe what's going on in our nation as God giving us a reprieve. And when you're given a reprieve, you can either squander it or you can take advantage of it. And so we've got basically a two-year window of opportunity, possibly longer, but let's just say a two-year window of opportunity with the House, the Senate, and the White House and the Supreme Court. To really begin to turn things around from a policy standpoint and from an economic standpoint, as you know. So I just want to encourage people to really stick to it and stay very engaged in what's going on in our nation's capital, so that we can look back after 2 years, after 4 years, and understand and know that we maximize this opportunity. So added diligence is kind of my message that I'm sending to people.
Yeah, very good. Jerry, to that point, obviously a lot to come and will unfold in the days and months and years ahead about how Trump will enact his economic policy. How important is that Treasury Secretary pick to that?
Well, the Treasury Secretary is the person who's constitutionally tasked with managing the value of the dollar. So I think the Treasury Secretary is very important in signaling to the world whether we're going to have a strong dollar economy or whether we're going to have a debased dollar. And there's always a temptation to debase the dollar for, you know, to goose exports or something like that. But in the long run, debasing your currency to, you know, kind of get some outcomes that you want, it's not worth it in the long run to get those short-term advantages. So Treasury Secretaries matter. I'm hoping for somebody who's aligned but serious. So, by the way, I'm liking the appointment so far, but there's a couple of appointments that are like, wait, Attorney General? Really? I don't know, right? So you really need a grown-up for Treasury Secretary. And there are solidly conservative, non-swamp creature grown-ups who can be the Treasury Secretary.
Yeah. What about the U.S. dollar, Jerry, just in going forward, given what Trump has laid out with regard to his economic agenda? How do you think that bodes for the U.S. dollar on the world stage?
Well, we're seeing it. The dollar's strengthened since Trump's victory. So I'm hearing in the mainstream media this narrative that market reactions, or like financial media, are signaling growth but also inflation risks because Treasury bonds yields are rising. Treasury bond yields rise often when people sell Treasuries to buy something more optimistically oriented, like stocks. So if they sell Treasury bonds, the safe thing, the recession hedge, and they buy stocks, well, then, you know, Treasury yields rise. But because people are selling them, because they're optimistic. If we really had if the Trump trade was inflationary, gold would be going up, not down, and the dollar would be going down, not up, right? No indicator is telling us that the Trump trade is inflationary. It's just growth. The shift in interest rates reflects growth expectations, not inflation fears.
Interesting. Walker, as you all think about the agenda in the coming months, what are your eyes on right now with regard to the next opportunity, specifically in this area of corporate engagement?
Yeah, we're going to really continue to push in hard with these companies. And, you know, you're going to have the beautiful thing and the opportunity that we see here is when you have federal policy at the executive branch and the congressional level, when it syncs up with our private efforts that we've been doing to increase religious freedom and viewpoint diversity in these corporations, abolish DEI standards, permit these employee charitable contributions to go towards nonprofits like AFA and Faith and Finance. So when you have our efforts and then you sync them up with the federal efforts and the state efforts at the government level, you're really looking at a recipe for success. So this will be the first time in modern history where we've had like-minded people, not only in the private sector with AFA and other groups, but also with the government efforts synced up in like mind.
Yeah, that's well said. Jerry, just about 45 seconds. I'm curious, you know, there's a lot of talk that if we see the Trump tax cuts become permanent, that means lower revenues. I saw a chart the other day that since they've gone into effect, tax receipts have been above trend, not below them. And that would underscore what you've been telling us for a long time, wouldn't it?
Yes, they're stimulative for growth. And by the way, the job of taxes isn't to maximize revenues. It's to maximize growth.
Yeah.
We're not trying to grow the government. We're trying to grow the economy.
That's well said. Well, gentlemen, thank you for your good work. And Jerry, appreciate your update as always. Walker, thanks for stopping by and for all the amazing things that AFA is doing on behalf of biblical values in our nation. God bless you, gentlemen.
And you.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer and Walker Wildman of the American Family Association. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. So thankful to have you along with us today on Faith and Finance here on AFR. I'm Rob West, and let me just invite you to join us here in our work at FaithFi. We can only do this through your generous gifts. If you'll head to faithfi.com and click give, every gift doubled between now and December 31st to help us finish our year and prepare to equip God's people in a new year of ministry. FaithFi.com, click give, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.